make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Holy Father, help us have ears to hear your voice. Father, you spoke the world into existence and you speak your holy scriptures to us. Help us find refuge and comfort in what you've revealed to be true, that your promises are faithful and true, that your word is faithful and true, that we can take rest in knowing that you are our fortress and our deliverer. The Lord of hosts will ever be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Holy, merciful Father, help us tremble at your voice, running from sin, running from the darkness, and embracing who you are as the great I am, the great God, King of the universe. Help us be still in our hearts and minds, finding rest in you and your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I do have this very powerful psalm. Please, I would pray and meditate on that often. Charles Spurgeon wrote a hymn off of that psalm as well. You guys can find that on your own. Okay, so this upcoming week, we've got women's group that meets at 11 o'clock. They're walking through the Acts of the Apostles here at Stutz. That's at 11 o'clock. And then Monday night at CrossFit Petoskey, I lead a faith and fitness class that's free for everyone. It's at 7 o'clock, accommodating all fitness abilities and all faith backgrounds. This Wednesday night, we have chapel sessions here where we're walking through Genesis, really chapter by chapter. Kind of ambitious this week of three chapters of Genesis, 29 through 31. It's kind of one story in itself. We're going to see how that plays out. Men's group meets here every Thursday nights at 6:30. That's always very edifying and encouraging. It's kind of a round table discussion around the Word of God. Adult Sunday schools always happen at 9 o'clock with Ramon. And then stay tuned for details about the Work Bee and Men's Breakfast that's scheduled to be this Saturday. Dennis Williams will have details on these. He is also sick right now, so we're going to have to stay tuned and just be flexible with how that's playing out. As well as a Would Bee coming up on October 16th. Chip Radel has details on that as well, so please contact him. And then an upcoming Fall Fun Fest happening October 23rd. Phil Merrihue has details on that. And then, as always, we're collecting Olson's receipts. We've collected hundreds of dollars so far. You can give those receipts to Donna or anyone else here. We'll get them to the right place. And then our basement has a thrift store that's open after service and then throughout the week. Okay, with that being said, if the children want to go to children's ministry, of course, you're welcome to stay here as well. Please greet one another in fellowship before we hear from the word of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. if you want to make your way back to your seats. Please join me in prayer. Holy and merciful Father, we're humbled at just the idea that you came down to the earth to rescue us. From a death that we really had no idea what was at stake. Help us have eyes to see, Father, your way, your truth, your life. Give us ears to hear your voice as we navigate this world. Help us have a heart for eternity to recognize how our lives are now but a mist that are here for a moment and then will vanish again. Help us live to the praise of your glory with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. Now, before we dive into our text today, please join me in a moment of silence in an effort to quiet our minds and still our hearts to receive with meekness the implanted word of God that is able to save your souls. There's a storm that is coming, and in many ways, the storm has already arrived. I'm speaking about the anguish, the burden, the persecution, the trouble, and the tribulation that comes from following Jesus Christ while we live in the world. I'm speaking about being bombarded with lies, empty philosophies, and deceitful schemes and false teachers. I'm speaking about the reality in which we find ourselves as Christians who are living in the world. You will find nowhere in Scripture where Jesus promises a life that is free from trouble for those who follow him. It's quite the contrary. Jesus tells us, in the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Right? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Build your house upon the rock, which is Christ. As it is written, everyone then who hears these words of mine, says the Lord Jesus, and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now please turn with me to our text today that's found in Matthew chapter 6 from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. At the beginning of chapter 6, Jesus shifts gears, so to speak, within this sermon and begins speaking about taking action, right? That is letting your light shine before others, doing good works in the world so that people will see these good works being done by you and then give glory to God, right? You will find three times Jesus uses this phrase, when you, right? When you give to the needy, when you pray, when you fast, right? Jesus is teaching us how to be the salt of the earth and light of the world by instructing certain things to be done, as well as certain things not to be done, right? Remember that Jesus is our teacher and we are the students in our relationship with the Lord our God. Verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Right, as I said, the heart of this text, Jesus is instructing us how to be the light of the world and how to let our light shine before others, doing these good deeds while we live in the world so that people will see these good deeds and then give glory to God. At the heart of these good works that we do in the world lies the motivation behind our actions, right? Jesus has just warned us that it is entirely possible to be doing the right things for the wrong reasons, right? Our motivations as followers of Christ to let our light shine should be grounded in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, the sufficiency of grace, thereby giving glory to God alone, right? The wrong reason Jesus speaks of pertaining to the motivation that lies within our heart would be to seek personal glory or to seek the praise of man, right? Jesus is confronting, using a mirror, the motivations that lie within our hearts and then instructs us, right, how to let our light shine before others so that these good works will give glory to God. Right, verse 1 again, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Jesus begins using this phrase, beware, to warn us against seeking the praise of man, right? This word, beware, can be defined further as paying close attention to or to be cautious, right? Jesus tells us to beware as we let our light shine before others. In other words, as we go about the world doing good works, we should pay careful attention to the motivation that lies within our heart. Right, it'd be just like checking the fuel that you have in your car before going on a road trip, right? Check your heart when you go into the world, right? And then beware of seeking the praise of man, right? Rather, set your heart upon the rock, which is Christ, which gives glory to God alone. And at the end of this verse, Jesus talks about rewards, right? Those who practice their righteousness before others in order to be seen by them will receive no reward from God the Father, right? That is because the reward that they've received is in the form of being praised by man and nothing more. What a shame it is to be practicing your righteousness before others for the sole reason of just being praised by people, right? Jesus explains and teaches us to examine ourselves frequently in an effort to check the motivation that lies within our heart. Verse 2, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Of course, the warning continues. Now we hear Jesus accuse those who are seeking the praise of man as being hypocrites. A religious hypocrite is someone who looks the part of a Christian, right? In fact, the religious hypocrite is doing good deeds in the world, but their hearts are far from God, right? These hypocrites will fool some people, but they will not fool God. As it is written, understand, O dullest of the people. Fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? If you love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God, you are completely off the mark, right? Do not seek personal glory. Do not seek the praise of man when you practice your righteousness in the world. Or do not seek the praise of man when you are giving to the needy, or when you are loving your neighbor as yourself, right? Examine yourselves frequently in an effort to check the motivations that lie within your heart. And then Jesus again brings up this idea of rewards from God the Father, right? And again, we are told that religious hypocrites will receive no further reward, for they have already been given their reward in the form of the praise that comes from man. Verse 3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Right? When you give to the needy, right? I want to pause here for a moment. Jesus is, right, again, teaching us how to be the salt of the earth and light of the world, right? Jesus is the teacher and we are the students. Giving to the needy is something we are supposed to be doing often, right? No matter the weather, we are supposed to be sharing the love of Christ with those around us, right? The warning is to check the motivation that lies in our heart as we are giving to the needy. Let me say that again another way. It's expected that you reflect the love of Christ with the world around you by giving to the needy, meeting their needs. Now this begs a question. Who are the needy? Of course, in a general sense, all humans are needy, right? We all have emotional, physical, and spiritual needs that need to be met in order to be thriving as humans. But the Word of God tells us that there are specific groups of people that are, in fact, considered needy above others. That is because these groups of people are often the scorn of society, the oppressed, the neglected, the forgotten, the least of these. It is these needy people that the children of God should be paying careful attention to in an effort to meet their needs by being the light of the world. As is written, for I was hungry and you gave me food, says the King Jesus. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. This statement, this profound statement, comes from Jesus in connection with the final judgment. those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who are strangers, those who are naked, those who are sick, those who are in prison are all considered needy. And then Jesus tells us that when we give to the needy, we are in fact giving to Jesus himself. Right? When you feed someone who is hungry, you are feeding Jesus. Think about that. I want to ask you a question. How far are you willing to go to give to the needy? Now, the parable of the Good Samaritan that's found in Luke chapter 10 teaches us that the one who loves his neighbor is the one willing to cross to the other side of the street in order to meet the needs of this stranger, right? The parable of the Good Samaritan teaches us that compassion and mercy are the right motivations behind loving your neighbor as yourself. This is where I have a growing burden and concern for the church as a whole regarding this commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves. Right? We are living in an era with the advancement of human engineering and technology that has spread like a wildfire. Now, this past weekend, Robin and I took my sister across the bridge to St. Ignace, and we began doing some research, as strangers often do in a new place, which I'm certain most of you know already about the bridge. We discovered that it opened up in 1957. I want you to think about this for a moment, right? In 1956, the year before the bridge was opened up, it would have been very difficult for you to make your way to St. Ignace in an effort to give to the needy. But then, in 1957, all of that changed dramatically, right? Giving to the needy in St. Ignace would have involved just driving across the bridge. Right now, with the advancement of human engineering and technology, right, traveling back and forth across this bridge has become commonplace. So I'll ask again, how far are you willing to go to give to the needy? How far are you willing to go to reflect the love of Jesus Christ? Will you cross the side of the road? Will you cross a bridge? Will you board an airplane? As I said, this is where this burden and concern for the church regarding loving your neighbor as yourself is growing. Because along with this advancement of human engineering and technology, the world is shrinking. We've been given tools at our disposal to use for the praise of God's glory. And I believe that we are missing opportunities, God-given opportunities, to be the light of the world. All of us, through the use of media and technology, have been made aware of the dire needs throughout the world. Right? Ignorance to the needy is not an issue. The truth be told, the issue regarding the needs of others is that we've become so numb to seeing the needs of the world that we just turn a blind eye. And how does the parable of the Good Samaritan go? People walked by him first. All too often we see the scorn of society, the oppressed, the neglected, the forgotten, and the least of these, and just continue to walk down our side of the street. I was hungry, says the Lord Jesus, and you gave me food. Chad is the fifth largest country in Africa, and it is ranked the lowest country in the world on the Global Hunger Index. 1 in 5 children die by the age of 5 due to undernourishment. Chad has a stunting rate of 39.8% and a child wasting rate of 13.3%. Barring some hoops to jump through about visas, You and I could be on a flight tonight to Chad in less than 48 hours. We could be feeding kids in need. I was thirsty, says the Lord Jesus, and you gave me drink. Ethiopia is the second most populated country in Africa and the 12th most populated country in the world. Of the 117 million people living in Ethiopia, 60.9% of them lack basic water services. That's 70 million people who do not have access to running water. Again, you and I could be on a flight and be providing water for those who are in need in less than 20 hours. I was a stranger, says the Lord Jesus, and you welcomed me. Now, most of you know there's a border crisis of growing proportions on the southern border of the United States. Each month there are an average of 100,000 refugees attempting to cross into the United States. I'm not going to get into all the reasons why these people are crossing into the United States and all the political drama that's associated with this border crisis, but I will say this. These people are in need, plain and simple, and they are strangers in a foreign land. You and I could be on a flight tonight and take part in meeting their needs in less than 6 hours. I'm not talking about supporting illegal immigration. I'm talking about giving to the needy. As if I was the one in need. I'm talking about loving my neighbor as myself. I'm talking about loving the stranger as myself. Right? It's really very simple. Use your imagination. Place yourself in someone else's shoes. And then answer this question. What would you want? How would you want to be cared for? You are fleeing for your life from Central America. You have your family with you. How would you want to be welcomed and greeted in a foreign country? I was naked, says the Lord Jesus, and you clothed me. Now in 2018, Americans threw away some 17 million tons of clothing. That's according to the Environmental Protection Agency. 17 million tons of clothing made their way to landfills. Now, 700 people are killed each year from hypothermia in the United States. These are homeless people. Hypothermia, of course, is 100% preventable cause of injury and death. And yet, 700 homeless people each year die in the United States. The least of these, the scorn of society, the oppressed, the neglected, die each year by literally freezing to death. Again, use your imagination. Place yourself in their shoes. What would you want if you were living on the streets and you were cold? How would you want to be treated? I was sick, says the Lord Jesus, and you visited me. I want you to think about something for a moment regarding sickness. What is your reaction to coming across someone who else is sick? Is it compassion and mercy that's motivating you to visit those who aren't sick? Or are you running away from them? Praise be to God that Jesus Christ gives us this example of not turning his back on those who are sick. I was in prison, says the Lord Jesus, and you came to me. Now, most of us, if not all of us, would consider criminals to be bad people. Am I right? Right? People who deserve to be locked away behind bars for the crimes that they have committed. Now, most of us, if not all of us, would consider the fact that because we are not behind bars, that we must be good people. Thanks be to God for demonstrating what true love really is through Christ Jesus, because God's ways are not our ways. A reading from Mark chapter 10. as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." No one is good except God alone. That's right. Just because you're not locked away behind bars does not make you a good person. Right? You see, there is a way that humans measure good and evil, and there is a way that God measures good and evil, and they are not the same way. Of course, there are times when these things are in agreement, right? As in the case of murder. But as we've already heard from the Sermon on the Mount, murder is something that begins in the heart first, right? And it takes on the form of anger. Now, did you know that there are signs throughout San Quentin's death row facility that reads "condemned row"? They're all over, right? These convicted criminals who are on death row live in a state of being reminded over and over again that they are condemned. Thanks be to God for demonstrating what true love really is through the person of Jesus Christ, because our ways are not God's ways. As it is written, "Whoever believes in him," says Jesus, "is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of this only Son of God." Everyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is already condemned. Right? The difference between those who are locked away at San Quentin and those who are not is that those who are on death row are being reminded that they're condemned. And the good news, right? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3:17, right? No one is good. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. Just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And this is how God demonstrates his love to sinners. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Right? You see, the depravity of sin is condemnation. And the wages of sin is death, right? Justice, true justice, would be to receive the wages that you deserve. The wrath of God poured out upon your head. You don't want justice, beloved. You want mercy. You want unmerited mercy. You want forgiveness. And that is the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And where there is forgiveness of sin, there is no longer any offering for sin. There is no longer any condemnation, because God will remember their sin and their lawless deeds no more. Hallelujah. I was in prison, says the Lord Jesus, and you came to me. How can these criminals be set free from condemnation? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? Right? How can they hear without someone to preach to them? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, there's a popular lie that's being spread throughout the world that the church is full of hypocrites. Pray that not be said about you, right? A religious hypocrite looks the part of a Christian, but their hearts are far from God. The reputation we should have as Christians is love. Radical, Christ-like, spirit-empowered love. And that comes from Jesus' prayer, high priestly prayer, that's found in John chapter 17. right? Having already tasted and seen the goodness of God the Father, we respond by reflecting God's mercy to the world around us, right? We are sinners saved by grace through faith in Christ to the praise of God's glory. This is how we let our light shine before others, so that they see our good deeds and give glory to God, the only one worthy of praise. Now, it's eternally important for us to recognize where we are in time as it relates to the kingdom of God that is advancing on earth as it is in heaven. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was crucified for our sins in accordance with scriptures. He was buried, and then he was raised on the third day in accordance with scriptures. And then Jesus appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time before he ascended into heaven, where he sits now in his throne of glory until all his enemies are made to be his footstool. And when Jesus returns, it will be to judge the nations. I have a reading for you. In Luke chapter 4, we hear of Jesus making his proclamation as a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. It's in Isaiah 61. I'm going to point something out for you in terms of where we are in time. So Isaiah 61 reads, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus rolls up the scroll. And that's midway through a sentence. We're living in a time right now, quite literally, that's a comma. Not literally, because the Hebrew doesn't have commas like that, but in English, right? So verse 2 in Isaiah, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, comma. Jesus did not finish the sentence, and the day of vengeance of our God." We are living at a comma in time. And we have the good news, the gospel of salvation. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You shall love the neighbor as yourself. Who then is your neighbor? Right? As we heard last week, imitating the love of Jesus is unlike the way in which the world loves its own. The way the world loves its own is biased towards those who return the favor. But we are called to be different, not to love like the rest of the world, but to demonstrate that we understand the love of God, right? To love like Jesus Christ, empowered by the Spirit of God. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? We are supposed to be demonstrating acts of love that are costly, love that's sacrificial, love that's empowered by the Spirit of God Himself. Now I hope and pray that according to the riches of God's glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ is not the same thing as knowing about Christ, right? To know the love of Christ means that Christ dwells in your heart through faith, right? Faith is a matter of the heart. To be filled with the fullness of God is not the same thing as knowing things about God, right? To be filled with all the fullness of God means that you are being rooted and grounded in God's love, this gift of grace. We all want to see change in the world, and it starts here in our hearts, right? As the love of Christ compels us to be the salt of the earth and light of the world. We are moved to commit acts of compassion and mercy. We are compelled to cross the other side of the street in order to love our neighbors as ourselves. How far are you willing to go to demonstrate the love of Christ? And then as Jesus warns us, we must beware of the motivations that lie within our heart, right? Because it's entirely possible to doing the right things for the wrong reasons. Ask yourselves, are we seeking the praise that comes from man or the praise that comes from God? The good news that we reflect to the world is that there is now no condemnation. We have been set free for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? For the law of spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You are free to commit acts of compassion and mercy and forgiveness, reflecting the finished work of Jesus Christ. Right, you are free to be the light of the world. You are free to let this light shine before others so that these other people will see these good deeds and give glory to God the Father. I do hope and pray that you recognize that this opportunity we have, this blessed opportunity we have right now in this moment of time, and we capitalize on it using these talents wisely. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled by what you see in the world. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ Jesus is revealed. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Build your house upon the rock, which is Christ. Please join me in prayer. Holy Father, we ask for eyes to see your great demonstration of love with greater clarity and with greater glory than we've ever tasted and seen before, Father. Help us see the great love in which you loved us, and help us turn from the sin and the darkness of the world and embrace this newness of life that you have given us, Father. Help us be light of the world. Send us, Father. Give us words to say. Give us the zealousness to go forth into the world loving our neighbors and strangers as ourselves. To the praise of your glory, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.